Morning. So we're continuing our series on lessons in truth. I'm so glad we're doing this. I've read this little book 100 times, I swear, and there's always something new in it. And preparing this series especially, I've realized how well-structured it is. It builds on itself. Although someone did tell me this movie is better than the book. It's not a book you'd take to the beach. We have talked a lot here about living in divine consciousness. That means living as the Christ, which Jesus showed us is possible for any human being. It's expressing the divinity within us. It's living in the awareness of our oneness with all that is, knowing we are never separate. We're never separate from God because we are a part of God. The energy we call God is expressing as us and everything we see, and we can consciously stay immersed in that presence, never separate. Entering into divine consciousness is the lesson today. As we're continuing this series on Lessons in Truth, it's a classic Unity book. It was first written as a series of articles for Unity magazine in 1894. The author, Emily Cady, was a doctor in New York City, and she was interested in metaphysical as well as physical healing. And I believe she had a deep, conscious, spiritual connection. In these chapters, especially 7 to 10, when she writes about living with a sense of universal oneness or being aware of the divine within, she seems to struggle for words. She describes it one way and then another. She repeats herself. I keep expecting her to burst out and say, "You just know. You know God. And everyone I know who's had a mystical experience can't put it into words. They just know the unity of all things. They just know that love underlies everything. They just know that life is perfect as it is. I call that living in divine consciousness. Emily Cady calls it spiritual understanding. It's what we all want. She says it's what we all crave. Most of us know by now we won't be satisfied with more things. We want more God in whatever way that energy makes itself known to us. Cady starts by differentiating between the human and divine in us. She calls them personality and individuality. Individuality is the divine within. And I think she uses that term to describe us as individuated bits of God, like the drops of ocean water. At the level of personality, we think and seek. Books, teachers, workshops, we pay for them. She cautions us not to think there's anything wrong with personality, with being human. God expresses through our personalities in many varieties. And even though she said earlier, put down the books, do your own spiritual work, she acknowledges that if we don't seek out books and teachers, we might not hear this stuff any other way. So here's what she says. Books and lectures are good, teachers are good, but you must learn for yourself that Christ, the Son of God, lives in you. That he within you is your light and life and all. Teachers talk about the light, but the light itself must flash into the darkness before you can see the light. You remember, Jesus left as a teacher. If he had stayed, the apostles never would have gotten past hanging onto his words and following the footsteps of his personality. He knew that God had to whisper to each of them directly. It couldn't even come through Jesus. And our spiritual understanding is a result of that whisper. It's clarity of vision. It's the awareness that all is well. It's the human journey from a higher perspective. Solomon asked for spiritual understanding. When he became the king, he succeeded his father David. It's an Old Testament story, and Solomon had a conversation with God, and he said, "I don't know how to be king." Solomon prayed, Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people? And God liked that. God was pleased that Solomon didn't ask for power and riches, so he granted understanding. God said, "Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall rise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you." Solomon was incredibly rich. He built the magnificent temple in Jerusalem. And with his divine guidance, Solomon made tough decisions and rulings as the king. He became famous for his intuitive arbitration and mediation skills. God threw in the riches and honor, but Solomon had been willing to do without them. He was seeking first the kingdom. He was craving more God, spiritual understanding, as we all do. Emily Cady says, "At the great heart of humanity, there is a deep and awful homesickness that never has been and never can be satisfied with anything less than a clear, vivid consciousness of the indwelling presence of God, our Father." There are steps we can take to work toward spiritual understanding or divine consciousness. One is simply remembering to work on it, trying to be better, to act from love and forgiveness, to rise above anger, envy, or sickness, to affirm love, peace, and health. Another is to use denials and affirmations. We talked about that last week. Deny that anything negative has power over you. Affirm the good that you know is already part of the divine presence that surrounds you. Emily Cady says, "For a long time it might seem like you're just parroting words, but then suddenly one day they will become illumined and become to you the living word with you." And she quotes the book of John, "The true light, which enlightens everyone coming into the world." In other words, divine consciousness, Christ within. She says, "You'll no longer dwell in darkness, for the light will be flesh to you." That is, you'll be conscious of a new and more divine life in your body, a new and more divine love for all people, a new and more divine power to accomplish. This is spiritual understanding. This is a flash of the Most High within your consciousness. So, remember to act from your higher self. Use denials and affirmations, speaking words you know are true. And then service is another step to spiritual understanding. It's not that God grants enlightenment as a reward for service to others. Enlightenment comes to us in proportion to how we use the light we already have. Cady says, and this made me squirm, she says, "Too much introspection is detrimental to spiritual growth." She says, "People call it seeking, but it's selfishness." She says, "Jesus taught us to give everything away." And she quotes Isaiah about people who are trying to be in service to others. "Your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail." Now, a pool of water to stay fresh has to have an outlet as well as an inlet. So she's saying whatever fills us needs to flow out from us, whether we are preaching or teaching or serving each other's physical needs or just silently living the truth. She says, "Unless you use for the service of others what God has already given to you, you will find it a long, weary road to spiritual understanding. We grow by using for others the light and knowledge we have." So we can take some external steps toward spiritual understanding or divine consciousness. But primarily, she says, be still and know. Let spirit work within to make you new. Now, this is the paradox of creation and surrender. We are the creators of our experience. We use our thoughts and actions as best we can to make our lives what we want them to be. And at the same time, we surrender. Katie says, abandon yourself to infinite spirit, and there will be marvelous change in you without effort. Be still and know that I am God. Enter into the secret place of the Most High. Emily Cady takes that term from Psalm 91, the King James Version. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Later translations say shelter of the Most High instead of secret place. But the point is the same. We are safe and protected when we're there. We can let go of fear. Katie says, oh, the awfully paralyzing effect of fear and evil. It makes us helpless as babes. It makes us pygmies. Whereas we might be giants, were we only free from it. It is at the root of all our failures, of nearly all sickness, poverty, and distress. But we have the promise of deliverance from even the fear and evil when we are in the secret place. Katie likes the idea of the secret place. She has a couple of chapters on it. It's a secret meeting place where Christ at the center of your being meets your conscious awareness. No one else can be there. They can tell you about their experience. They can offer some external steps to take, as Jesus did with his teachings. But even Jesus couldn't magically bring about realization in his followers. That was between them and God individually. And we have stories of those moments when the light dawned. Mary Magdalene, recognizing the resurrected Jesus in the garden, and all the tumblers fell into place for her. Doubting Thomas, when he saw Jesus' wounds, those stories are about recognizing themselves as God in expression, just as Jesus was. They got it, that they are divine. So listen to this. This actually sums up Lessons in Truth. The secret place of the Most High, where each one of us may dwell and be safe from all harm or fear of evil, is the point of mystical union between man and spirit, or God in us, she says, wherein we no longer believe but know that God in Christ abides always at the center of our being. As our perfect health, deliverance, prosperity, power, ready to come forth into manifestation at any moment we claim it. We know it. We know it. We feel our oneness with the Father, and we manifest this oneness. She says, this secret knowledge of God is the key to all power. What we seek is the revelation of this secret for each of us, and the secret's different for everyone. The way God expresses through you, what you know and do is different from other people. And she quotes our verse from Revelation. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. Every new year, we have a white stone ceremony, where we go into meditation and we listen for direct communication about how God is expressing through us. And we write the word on a white stone, a clean slate. My word this year was grace. It's different for everyone. It's a private communication from the divine within. And that's what we want. It's no longer enough to have someone tell us with words from the outside. We want a revelation of God within us so that love just overflows from us. And Emily Cady says, do not lose sight of the fact that our desire for connection is God's desire in us to reveal its presence. John 6:44, no one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. That doesn't mean you have to wait for an invitation. It means you are being drawn into divine consciousness all the time. Cady says, no, once and forever, that you are not seeking God, but God is seeking you. It's the evolutionary impulse pushing from within, trying to come into greater manifestation, to grow through us, like the weeds growing up through the stone deck out here. That's the evolutionary impulse, the life force. We desire to know the secret of our lives, of our purpose, because the Father, God, divine energy within longs to reveal it to us. Remember last week we talked about desire and said we only desire what is already available to us. We desire it because it is available to us. Desire is initiated by God. And whatever excites us most is God's will for us. That's how we know. Cady says, the light we want is not some thing God has to give. It is God Himself. God is life and light and love. More of Himself in our consciousness, then, is what we all want, no matter what other name we may give it. Now, remember, you have to listen carefully to Emily Cady because she uses traditional words, God, Father, He, Him. But what she's describing is the transcendent God that is all things and the immanent God within each of us. Chapter 10 of Lessons in Truth is called Finding the Secret Place. It's a how-to, and Cady offers several steps for prayer and meditation that have become familiar to us. I will walk you through them when we go into meditation. You know, Maya Angelou passed this week. A magnificent soul. She left her body, and with gratitude we bless her as she continues her spiritual journey elsewhere. 3 days before she died, she posted this on social media. Listen to yourself, and in that quietude, you might hear the voice of God. That's exactly what Emily Cady was saying 100 years ago. Be still and know. Find the secret place of the Most High. You are never separate from God within you. I want to show you a short video because Maya Angelou had studied Lessons in Truth. So I'll let her finish this talk. Here she is with Oprah last year.
You say words are things and that they're so powerful. So what words do you turn to for comfort?
Love. And again, see, I think love is that condition in the human spirit so profound that it allows us to forgive. Mm-hmm. And it may be the energy which keeps the stars in the firmament.
Yes.
I'm not sure. It may be the energy which keeps the blood running smoothly through our veins. I'm not sure. But it's something beyond the explanation. It can be used for anything you can explain, any good thing you can explain.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
Where do you go for solace, for comfort? Are there books that you read? Or when Maya Angelou needs comforting, what do you use?
I'm a student of Unity. And there's a book called
The Unity Church?
Unity Church. Mm-hmm.
Maya first discovered the Unity Church in her 20s after her voice coach and mentor, Fred Wilkerson, invited her to a service there. Founded in 1889, Unity is a Christian movement that emphasizes affirmative prayer and education as a path to spirituality.
I took a course in Unity about 2 years ago, online. Not to become a member, a minister, mm-hmm. but just to understand more deeply. There's a book called Lessons in Truth.
Wow.
And in the book, there's a line which is, God loves me. And when I came to read it to my then mentor, Frederick Wilkerson, the late Frederick Wilkerson, mm-hmm. I read, God loves me. And he said, read it again. I said, God loves me. He said, read it again. Mm. Read it again. And finally, I said, God loves me. It still humbles me that this force, which made leaves and fleas and stars and rivers and you, loves me. Me, Maya Angelou. It's amazing. I can do anything and do it well. Any good thing, I can do it. That's why I am who I am. Yes, because God loves me and I'm amazed at it and grateful for it.
So let's see if I can lead a meditation while I cry. As we go into meditation, we'll use the steps as Emily Cady describes them to find the secret place of the Most High. Turn within, close the door on outside distraction. Close the door within, too, on thoughts, on busyness, on inner distraction. Don't expect to leap immediately to a state of oneness. Start by lifting your heart in prayer. Bring your mind into some kind of focus. You can open up your heart with something like, let God flow through me now. Or that can become an affirmation. God flows through me now. You can repeat familiar scriptures or hymns. When I pray, I feel my heart go deeper. My heart go deeper into my God. Feel God well up in you. This is divine energy. A presence of something greater. A love that is amazing. Seeking you. This presence is the universe. The power that created all we see and all we are. Power that holds the planets in order, that made the leaves and the fleas and you. Feel that energy in you. It is you. Know that oneness, your own divinity. You are never separate. If your mind wanders, just bring it back. Finding the secret place is not seeking or reaching out. It is literally to be still, to know. God is right here. Imagine the sun shining on a seed in the garden. You are the seed. You don't have to strive to grow, but let yourself be grown. Be still and know that whatever you want is flowing in. Don't look for signs and wonders. Just know. Whatever you need is already here. Then go ahead and give thanks, because you have received, whether you see it yet or not. Be grateful. We are so grateful for the spiritual understanding that we have at the level we have it. Grateful for the books and teachers who have come through our lives, but grateful most of all for our direct communion with the presence within. And so it is. Amen.
Let's take a deep breath.